Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to Stinchfield, the podcast. Brace yourselves. Here comes the sensationalism again. The mainstream media out with a new pathogen, a new fear, a new possible pandemic on the way. A terrible disease jumping from birds to cows to humans, and we're all going to die. I don't know if that's true or not. That's what's going to be pushed on us. There's evidence that already the World Health Organization, along with the White House, talking about getting Big Pharma involved to create a, quote, another vaccine for the bird flu. I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but it's starting to make its emergence onto the scene. Of course, we need a pandemic because election season is right around the corner. So I want to break down what is fact from fiction, what we really have to be worried about, and the overall theme that we're starting to see after the pandemic of really world leaders weaponizing these types of things against all of us and preying on the uninformed. And this program, of course, is all about keeping you informed. It's brought to you, of course, by the wellness company, twc.health/grant. Let me just say this. Get one of these emergency medical kits. Get it now. You can do that at the website on your screen, twc.health/grant. Emergency medications, antivirals, antiparasitics, and the like to keep you and your family safe. So with that, let's get the party started.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, folks, welcome. As mentioned, I want to make sure we get down to what is the truth. What do we need to be concerned about when it comes to this so-called bird flu? I want to bring in our guest from the wellness company, Dr. Harvey Risch, is back with us. Doc, it's great to see you. Welcome back.
Likewise, great to be with you.
All right, let me just right off the bat show you what now we are up against. And this is from Fox News.
A contagious pathogen jumping from bird to cow to human. Texas health officials issuing a statewide alert after the first confirmed case of human infection with bird flu that came from a dairy farm. USDA confirms the avian influenza virus has infected cattle in Texas and elsewhere after wild birds were found dead on farms there and may have contaminated the feed. A highly contagious pathogen jumping.
All right, so do I need to get ready? Should I get my mask out? Do I start bracing myself for another vaccine? What's going on here?
Well, that depends on how much livestock you have in your backyard and your garage and whatever else. I think this is, again, what used to be called yellow journalism. And it's fear mongering as we've experienced over the last 4 years ad infinitum. The bird flu does exist. It does infect wild birds. It has gotten into chickens and chicken farms and some dairy cattle and maybe elsewhere for all we know. It does not jump from human to human, and there's no likelihood that that will happen. Anything is theoretically possible, but it is unlikely to happen because we've lived in proximity to animals for the last 100,000 years, 500,000 years, and the things that have jumped to humans have had all that time to do it. And even though it could be argued that we've been encroaching on more wildlife areas as our cities have gotten larger and so on, nevertheless, this has gone on for hundreds of years, and there's kind of a steady state that has been in existence of which things have colonized humans and which haven't. And the unless some mad, irresponsible scientist does some engineering to make an avian flu virus that jumps from human to human, it's not likely to happen on its own. So yes, if you work a worker in a poultry farm or someplace like that, you can get avian flu. It's still rare, but it's possible. This was not serious in the case that actually happened in the U.S. It was a mild infection. Not 50% of people are going to die. Not anything like that at all. And that's as much as we know of it at this point. So again, this is not something that anybody needs to be paying any attention to, as far as I can tell.
Okay. So that's interesting. I want to make sure I play this out properly, because you wouldn't know that when you listen, well, let me just play this. When you listen to someone from the World Health Organization, for instance, this Tedros character who has really been so damaging to the world, this is him talking about the emergence of bird flu.
An available treatment or control measures, WHO recommends countries strengthen surveillance in setting where humans and farmed or wild animals interact. WHO is also continuing to engage with manufacturers to make sure that, if needed, supplies of vaccines and antivirals would be available for global use.
Now, Dr. Risch, that's really the complete opposite feeling from what you just said to what he just said. He's talking about, we're monitoring all of this from happening, and if it happens, we're going to get Big Pharma involved, and everybody's going to be safe because there's going to be a vaccine. You just told us the likelihood this is happening is slim to none, and humans really need to be concerned about this.
Well, you notice that he also mentioned the word antivirals. I wonder which he has in mind. Certainly not Paxlovid, which the recent study showed that it didn't do any better than placebo in its Pfizer trial results. And 2 years after the fact. So I don't know exactly what he has in mind. Maybe he's thinking of hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. I really don't know.
So the fear to me is, I think everybody watching this, is will they just use this as an excuse to come up with some other experimental vaccine?
That's entirely possible. But I think that no one in the population is going to trust that now after what they did to us through COVID. The trust is all gone.
You know, I hope you're right, but I don't think you know, and it's not that I'm disagreeing with you, doctor, but, you know, people are still pretty dumb out there. The informed, the people listening to this program, watching on outlets like Real America's Voice, where we do the evening program, you're right on that. They're not falling for this again. But people like my parents, and I hate to call my parents dumb because I have great respect for them, but they're liberals. They're still closed to all of this. They're in their 70s. They're still convinced that 92 booster shots are going to work for them. And I love them. And I try to talk to them. I send them podcasts that I do with you and Dr. McCullough and all the others. And still nothing, Doc. I'm worried that there's masses that will still buy into this.
Well, I still see about one person in 30 wearing masks out on the street or in places today. The question for your parents is, which is scarier, to know that they've been lied to and everything they believe about all of this medical and public health information was a lie, or what they think is the fear of the virus that they might get if it's actually out there? And somehow that you have competing fears that they can't manage.
Yeah, the problem is convincing them that they were lied to. You know, I've often said that if you can come to the conclusion, which I see, which you see, which many of you out there, Stinchfield's Army sees, when you come to the conclusion that the media is capable of lying to you, I'm not going to say they always lie to you. They're pretty close to always, but not always. But the fact that they're capable of lying, we've seen it. If you come to the conclusion that the government is capable of lying, they don't always lie to you, but boy, as sure as heck, I'm losing a lot of trust in government. This idea that both media and government is capable of lying to you, the whole world then opens up to you as to what is really going on. Now it takes critical thinking. But many of these people still do not think it's possible that the government or the media is lying to them.
Well, so, you know, we've gotten increasing amounts of information about the JFK assassination and what really happened. There's been now scientific studies of the x-rays and that have shown remarkable new information. And this is changing the picture of what actually happened, what our government actually did. Yeah. And we know that the government is nefarious in what it does in the rest of the world. Why would we think that switch hasn't been flipped on what the government does to us?
Yeah. These are the common sense conclusions that I would hope every American can come to. But for some reason, there is a switch that is off in so many Americans. If the switch wasn't off, Dr. Risch, we wouldn't see half of America considering voting for Joe Biden. Hopefully that dips to 40% and President Trump waltzes into office. But we wouldn't see that. This switch is still, to me, it seems to be off. But I want to get back to medicine here. Because what you were talking about this in the beginning about these viruses jumping from animal to human, unless you had some mad evil scientist, which we believe what happened with the COVID virus that started this whole pandemic and all the response to it. That's called gain of function. Right. And gain of function research is how to make that happen, or is it how to prevent that from happening, or is it both?
It's how to make that happen. It would be loss of function to remove the ability of a virus, but to jump from human to human, say, or to infect humans in the first place. But, once the horse is out of the barn, it doesn't matter whether you neuter all the rest of the horses because that one's out already. So there is no point in worrying about how to undo gain of function that's already been done in something that's already spread, unless you can make a virus that's even more infectious than the first one, but doesn't do that. But the whole point is to make it infectious to humans. So there's no way that you can reverse engineer a virus to make it spread like in a pandemic.
Is there any research when we talk about a bird flu or the birds passing it to cattle and then cattle passing it to man? Is there any species that's harder to go from the species to the human, whether it's bird to human, reptile to human, or mammal to human?
Well, I think there's a whole it's a whole field of knowledge about virology that I'm not really expert in, that categorizes all of the different viruses and organisms and how, what their natural hosts are and where they can go from and to. That's beyond my level of expertise.
All right. So when you talk about gain of function research, this enabling it to jump, why would you research? Why wouldn't you let Mother Nature just be and make sure the viruses don't jump? And where Mother Nature has basically built it so they aren't jumping from animals to humans, why would you engage in this kind of research?
Well, because these viruses have been thought to be used as bioweapons against other countries. And we have a whole industry, a bioweapons industry, that's been doing this. In 1975, President Ford signed the Bioterrorism Act that made it illegal to do bioweapons research, with a little loophole. And that loophole has been exploited in the intervening years, which is to say one can make small amounts of these dangerous viruses for the point of making vaccines. But, and so that has just unleashed a whole bioweapons industry that needs gain of function research that needs to be stopped, because from this industry has not created any vaccines before any of these organisms actually got out. Of course, we make vaccines from our universities and pharma and other research institutions. We've got plenty of vaccines, but not ones made against bioterrorism, bioweapons agents, and that's been the problem, that it's been an excuse rather than an actual process of ending at vaccines.
So I want to ask you about vaccines, the future of them, where you think it's headed. But before I do that, I want to tell the folks about the company that you're so involved with, Doc, the wellness company. And what we're talking about here is getting the knowledge necessary to keep yourself safe. But you also have to have medications on hand to keep yourself safe during times of emergency, whether that be ivermectin, which we've seen can be so hard to get depending on what state you live in, sometimes what town you live in, depending on who your doctor is. The wellness company has a plan for all of this. They've got emergency medical kits with ivermectin in it, with a Z-Pak in it, with antibiotics, antivirals that you need to keep you safe, antiparasitics that you need to keep you safe. I have the wellness kit in my home. I urge all of you to get it too. You'd rather not need it, but have it on hand, then need it and not have it. We've already seen, we've had computer glitches where We've had the drugstores closed down. You can't get your prescription medications. Imagine if there was an emergency and you need one of these antivirals or antiparasitics or antibiotics. Have it on hand. I've got ammunition. I've got food. I've got all that stuff. Now I have medications on hand too. TWC.health/grant. Use the promo code grant for 10% off. And then all of the other host of products, what I tell people to do is just peruse the website when you're there. There's so many great things, including telehealth medicine as well, to get you in touch with doctors who critically think. And that really is key. TWC.health/grant. Use the promo code grant for 10% off. All right, Dr. Risch, I told you I wanted to ask you about vaccines because when this comes up, I'm going to ask you a difficult question. It's going to sound very conspiratorial. I don't know the answer to it. I have my assumptions of what the answer is. Do you think this mRNA vaccine used for the last pandemic, is that a bioweapon or is that just a mistake?
I think it was a risky mistake, that the theoretical idea for how it would work was a genius idea. However, what it actually ended up doing, its ability to get into cells throughout the body and perhaps even into fetuses, is a big problem. And it's basically an uncontrolled mechanism, and that the mRNA in it was calculated to last for 3 days, but it might last for 3 years for all we know, at least 3 months in many cases. That's a mistake. It's hard to say that this was an intentional agent used to damage the population. We don't know that. That would be conspiratorial. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that the mechanism of action of this was not well worked out, and it was an experiment to see what it did in the general population. And while it did work briefly for some amount of time in some fashion, both to reduce risk of infection and transmission, that was very short-lived and not usable as a general public health measure, and created a very large amount of damage compared to traditional vaccines. On average, they're not 100% safe, but they're close enough that their use has been pretty highly successful, in moderation, I guess I would say. But this one, with a new mechanism of action, was just open season to see what would happen, and it caused a lot of damage.
So, and that's the interesting key here: open season to see what would happen. I believe that this wasn't about killing off American citizens. I know many people out there watching probably believe that it was. I can't say that. What I can say, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, is this was about money. And so I believe that the billionaires that were made for this, it all worked perfectly except for the fact that the vaccine isn't really working. My guess is it would have been in their benefit to have it work, unless the play is, all right, you go booster after booster after booster. But if you believe in free markets, the people are going to say, well, if I need to take booster after booster after booster, this thing isn't working. So you're not going to buy it anymore. You're going to lose trust in them. You're going to lose faith in them. It probably would have been in their best interest to have this worked, so the next time it comes around, you trust them and you'll buy it again from them.
Well, I think you're right, but I don't think that they had the a priori knowledge to know that, because this was an untested mechanism in the product. The whole nanolipoparticle delivery system, plus the mRNA, plus the altered base pairs that give the mRNA longevity, resistance from being taken apart by the enzymes that do that. That's what made this uncharted territory, and so I think it was cavalier to have used this the way it was.
My and I may oversimplify this, so correct me if I'm wrong. This spike protein that is in the COVID virus is what causes all the problems with the COVID virus. We have the spike protein in the vaccine as well. It appears now that spike protein in the vaccine goes everywhere in the body. It's like going to every organ, all parts of your body. Do you think the pharmaceutical companies, did they have any evidence that was going to happen, which is why I think they rushed it to market. Why I didn't take it. I'm like, I'm not taking something that they've come up with 2 months ago. But do you think they had evidence that this went to every portion of the body and then started to fend off the immune system, right? Isn't that what's happening here?
Yes, and in fact, the lab work that was filed with the regulator in Japan, in Japanese, shows that it goes to virtually every organ in the body, including in the ovaries in women, and it builds up. It's not huge, but it gets there, and even a small amount can cause an inflammatory reaction. And because it goes everywhere, any particular inflammatory reaction in some local area can cause damage or dysfunction in that particular function of the body, including the lining of blood vessels, which can cause clots in the vessels, which causes dysfunction of whatever the vessel's in.
So here's my biggest concern now, Dr. Risch, with the wellness company. We get another pandemic. We need another vaccine. We get some other, who knows what comes out. And I'm not going to trust anybody anymore. So maybe they come up with something that works great. I'm not taking it because I'm not going to trust it. So somebody else is going to have to take it before I take it. That's a problem right now.
Yes, they forced this on us. You would think that if a product worked well and was safe, that knowledge would become obvious and everybody would rush to take it and there wouldn't be mandates needed. And the very fact that they had to mandate this after half the population had taken it because more people weren't, because there was enough information that people were starting to be harmed and people were finding out about this, they had to mandate it, shows that they knew that this wasn't a safe vaccine. And you don't have to mandate something that works really well because people will automatically do it because they see how good it is.
You know, I think it was maybe 5 years ago, probably. Time goes by so fast. I went on what amounted to a mission trip. It wasn't really religious based, but it was to go build houses for poor people in Nicaragua, get their houses off of the ground when the rivers would come through. And we put them basically on little stilts, and they were wood. In America, they'd be described as wood backyard sheds, but this was far better than living on the ground in Nicaragua. Before I went, I took a whole slew of vaccines and I was totally willing to take them. I don't know, malaria and all this other stuff. I didn't want to get these things. Nothing happened to me. I'm actually glad I took them. These vaccines have been around for decades. I didn't see any evidence of people getting sick from them. But now a new vaccine comes on the market. I'm not taking it. I have no faith left in them. So with that, these older vaccines, do you have a problem with them? The vaccines that I took to go to some place like Nicaragua?
Well, there's two classes of vaccines. You have things like that we take for foreign travel, and you have childhood vaccines. And, you know, I took all the childhood vaccines that were available at the time when I was a child, and I've taken, you know, pneumonia and shingles vaccines as an adult, and not had any, and flu vaccines multiple times, and not had any issues with that. I know that it can have side effects, adverse effects in very small numbers of people. But what happens when, instead of taking a dozen vaccines that I might have had as a child, you get to 30, or today you get to 70? Okay. We haven't learned how to be moderate in things. We go over the top, and it's probably more likely the number of things that causes the harm rather than any specific one. Although that may not be true because we don't really know, because most of these childhood vaccines, if not all of them, have never been tested against placebos. They've been tested against the rest of the non-active agent, so to speak, which is called adjuvant, aluminum or other ingredients in the vaccines. They've been tested against that, which gives you information about efficacy, but doesn't give you information about safety.
Would
And
you
so we don't know completely.
Would you vaccinate your kids over on the traditional vaccine panel that, say, you or I took as a kid?
Yes, and we did. I have two sons, and we vaccinated them on essentially everything that was recommended.
Yeah. It's, you know, so interesting because what's happened is we now have a boy who cried wolf scenario with our federal government. And that, in the end, I think is going to get people killed also, because we've lost so much trust in them. The one time maybe they're right, or the one time we need to, like, listen that it actually is coming, we're not going to believe them. And people are going to die because of this, just as people are going to die the next time they pull a fast one on us as well. So we're left trying to figure out information on our own, make our own decisions, critical thinking. And Doc, as I leave you, that's where really the wellness company comes in. It's why the wellness company was founded. Am I going too far in saying that?
No, I mean, we were seeing the corruption of outpatient medical care, and we wanted to provide a service, telemedicine in particular at the time, ways that doctors could provide traditional outpatient medical care to patients face-to-face in ways that was unfettered by corporate medicine, that was limiting what doctors could do, or you know, and at a time when that outpatient care, as Dr. Zelenko had derived about hydroxychloroquine, was the way of preventing people from being hospitalized or dying from COVID when they were getting sick with the illness at the beginning of the pandemic. And we branched out into supplements and then into these antibiotic emergency kits and so on, as natural ideas of ways of trying to protect people the best that we know. And that's what we try to do.
Yeah. Well, it's a fabulous company, and I have so much respect for all of you that work there. It's great to do this podcast once a week with all of you, because I learn as I go too. And the goal is to get everybody else learning. And then of course, to have people protect themselves with the kits that the wellness company offers. Dr. Harvey Risch, it's always great to see you. I appreciate you coming on today.
Likewise. Great to be with you.
All right. Thank you. And folks, again, the wellness company, twc.health/grant. That's where I want you to go. Get yourself one of these kits, two of these kits. They have different kits for different types of emergencies. So the more of these things that you have, the better. But if you have to start with one, their emergency kit for your house is perfect. It's got antibiotics, antivirals, antiparasitics, all of these things that are so very, very important. And the wellness company can help you get them, including ivermectin, which to me, you know, we did a podcast, I think last week, about ivermectin turning out to be this miracle drug that's been around forever. I urge you, go visit the wellness company's website, twc.health/grant. Use the promo code GRANT for 10% off, and I promise you, you will not be disappointed. That's going to do it for us today. Of course, you can find me on Stinchfield tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Real America's Voice. Make sure you tune in there. Stinchfield's Army Rolls, thanks to all of you. We will see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.